tonight. We'll continue with Chapter 85. What is Chapter 85 called? Lord Krishna instructs Vasudev. Okay. So we'll go tonight. We'll go from text number 27 until 44. And tomorrow night we'll finish the chapter. Okay. At that time, for best of the Kurus, the universally worshipped Devaki took the opportunity to address her two sons, Krishna and Balaram. Previously, she had heard with astonishment that they had brought their spiritual master's son back from death. Now, thinking of her own sons, who had been murdered by Kamsa, she felt great sorrow. And thus, with tear-filled eyes, she beseeched Krishna and Balaram. What is your name?
Vasudev's love for Krishna had been disturbed because his awareness of Krishna's opulences conflicted with seeing him as his son. In a different way, Devaki's love was somewhat distracted by her lamentation for her dead sons. So Krishna arranged to relieve her of the mistaken idea that anyone else but him was actually her son. Since Devaki is known to be worshipped by all great souls, her show of maternal affection, must actually have been an effect of the Lord's Yoga Maya, who increases the pleasure of his pastimes. Thus, in text 54, Devaki will be described as Mohita Maya Vishnu, bewildered by the eternal energy of Lord Vishnu.
Okay. Any points? So we're hearing about the two types of Maya. What are the two types? Yoga Maya and Maha Maya. What is the difference?
Yoga Maya is arranged by Krishna's will. Whereas Maha Maya is when living entity goes away from Krishna.
Yeah, two types of energies. One is the internal and the other is the external energy. So the jiva is tatashta. Jiva means it can be in both. You can be in yoga maya, you can be in maha maya. We are in maha maya. By bad choice, we're in maha maya. Prabhupada said, Giriraj Maharaj said to Prabhupada, I was in maya. Prabhupada said, you are always in maya. We don't know any different. All we know is Maha Maya. We're always in illusion. We're always bewildered by the body and the mind and the false ego. So the difference is that Maha Maya takes you away from Krishna, covers your consciousness, and Yoga Maya brings you close to Krishna. Also by covering your consciousness. That's the difference. That she covers. Yoga Maya makes you forget that Krishna is supreme. So that you can relate to him in a personal way. You know? Like the residents of Vrindavan. Like here we're seeing Devaki. So she's being covered to a degree by Yoga Maya. So she's thinking of Krishna as her son. The residents of Vrindavan are so covered by Yoga Maya that they can only see Krishna in an intimate way. They forget about his godliness. Whereas Maha Maya covers us, but in such a way that it takes us away from Krishna, so that we forget Krishna. So we choose to be under the influence of either of the two Mayas. If we begin to perform devotional service, we become more absorbed in Yoga Maya, the internal potency, Devi Prakriti, Ashrita. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, we have to take shelter of the Devi Prakriti, or the divine energy, and become detached from the illusory energy, of Maha Maya. So that is the choice which each one of us has to make. At one time, one devotee said to Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, why is Maya strong?" What did Prabhupada say? Maya is not strong. You are insincere. You are not sincere. Because if you're sincere, then Maya cannot touch you. Like Prabhupada could not be touched by Maya, because he was so fixed in Krishna's service. Whereas we are covered by Maya, Mahamaya. Why? Because we want to be covered by Mahamaya. We want to forget Krishna, and therefore Mahamaya shall cover us and take us away from Krishna. So that is the choice each devotee has to make. Do you want to give your independence to Krishna, or do you want to? So we're somewhere in between. We're under the influence of the internal energy, but also the external energy simultaneously. We're not clearly in one or the other energy at this point in time. But we're definitely performing devotional service sincerely, so therefore we're under the influence of the internal energy, but we still very much identify with the body and the mind and the ego, so therefore we're very much in the external energy also. So Devaki here, because of her strong attachment, then Yoga Maya is covering her, so she can forget Krishna is supreme. So, any points?
This purport says that Devaki's love was somewhat distracted by lamentation. So if she is in Yoga Maya, then why will she lament?
It means spiritual lamentation. All the emotions, all the qualities are there in the spiritual sense also. Spiritual anger, spiritual lust, spiritual greed, spiritual envy, all those things are there. But they're spiritual counterpart. We experience the material counterpart, but there is a pure counterpart also to all of these qualities. Any other point?
Even a pure devotee still has some affection towards the people who are around them.
Towards?
Some affection towards the people who are around them, even a pure devotee. It's like totally they cannot be aloof and not love anybody. Even the Gurmanas and everybody, they love the devotees and everything. So it's not a material attachment, but it's kind of a spiritual attachment, affection towards them.
Yeah. Devaki
also
became shaped
in that platform.
Pure
attachment.
Good. Anything else?
Also, Vasudeva and Devaki's love was not pure Vatsalya, it was mixed with all the others. It was not seen as Nanda Lava and Yashoda.
Sri Devaki said, O Rama, Rama, immeasurable supreme soul, O Krishna, Lord of all masters of yoga, I know that you are the ultimate rulers of all universal creators, the primeval personalities of Godhead. Taking birth from me, you have now descended to this world in order to kill those kings whose good qualities have been destroyed by the present age, and who thus defy the authority of revealed scriptures and burden the earth. The soul of all that be, the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the universe are all carried out by a fraction of an expansion of an expansion of your expansion. Today, I have come to take shelter of you, the Supreme Lord. So, Rasik, you want to read the purport?
Sri Sridhara Swami explains his verse as follows. The Lord of Vaikuntha, Narayana, is but one expansion of Sri Krishna. Mahavishnu, the first creator, is Lord Narayana's expansion. The total material energy emanates from Mahavishnu's glands, and of that total material energy, the three modes of nature are divided portions. Thus, it is Sri Krishna acting through his expansions who generates, sustains, and dissolves the universe.
Any points?
It is mentioned that in the previous birth, Vasudeva and Devaki, Vasudeva and Krishna, who were worshipping with a lot of austerity to please Lord Narayan, and they worship Lord Narayan in the mood of awe and reverence. And that is when Lord appeared in the womb of Devaki and appeared, took birth. He was in four-handed form. So her mood was more of Narayan worship rather than Krishna worship.
Yeah. Vasudev Krishna. Any other point? So, we're hearing Ete Chamsa Kala Pumsa, Krishna's two, Bhagavan Swayam. Amsha, Ete Chamsa, Amsha Kala Pumsa means the portion of the portion. So Mahavishnu, who is so powerful that he creates all the universes within the creation, Mahavishnu is just a portion of a portion of Krishna. That's how powerful. So this personality who is standing before them is the source of all incarnations. That is Krishna's potency. So, in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, it mentions that Lord Nrisimhadev, who is most powerful incarnation, sometimes he's described as being Purna Avatar, means like a complete form of God. Now, one of the main forms of Krishna. But in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, it says Nrisimhadev is just like a particle of dust at the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. And he said, like thousands of Nrisimhadevs could be situated at the feet of Lord Nityananda. That's how powerful Lord Nityananda Prabhu is. So here, Krishna and Balaram, who are non-different from Gaur and Nitai, in front of Vasudeva and Devaki. So that is the potency. So these incarnations are just portions of portions of portions. Amshas means just a part. But the original form, the most powerful form, is Swayam Bhagavan, that is Krishna himself. And Balaram is said to be non-different in many ways, nearly practically every way. Prabhupada describes Balaram as non-different from Krishna, except Krishna is the original form, but otherwise potency, they're practically as equally as potent. And then all the other incarnations, even Mahavishnu himself, the whole, who creates the whole material universes. He's just like a portion of a portion. So it gives some perspective on how powerful Krishna is, the original form. Any points? Nrisimha is an expansion of Balaram, you can say. Any other point?
So, Mahavishnu creates material universes. Is there a counterpart who creates spiritual universes?
No, because the spiritual universes are always there. So. The spiritual world is said to be an expansion of Balaram. It says in Chaitanya Charitamrita that the flute and the shoes and the sitting place, everything is an expansion of Nityananda or Balaram. Yeah, because there are three Shaktis, Ladini, Samvita and Sandini. What is Ladini? Bliss. Ananda. Then Samvit means knowledge. Sandini means eternality. Eternality, bliss and knowledge, Satchitananda, Vigraha. So, Sandini Shakti comes from Lord Balaram, means eternality. So the spiritual world is eternal. That energy is emanating from Balaram. And therefore everything is created, everything exists because of Lord Balaram's potency. So the whole spiritual world is an expansion of Balaram, who is none different from Lord Nityananda. Any points? Okay. It is said that when your spiritual master ordered you to retrieve his long dead son, you brought him back from the forefather's abode as a token of remuneration for your guru's mercy. Please fulfill my desire in the same way. O supreme masters of all yoga masters, please bring back my sons who were killed by the king of Bhoja, so that I may see them once again. So, Devaki is asking for Dakshina. Dakshina means?
Donation.
Yeah, like a donation. You have to give. It's like when you take initiation, you have to give Dakshina to the Guru. That's the system. Whenever there is a Jagya, you have to give Dakshina. That's part of the process. You have to give. That means whenever you see the spiritual master, you have to give Dakshina. Has to be some reciprocation. As like Prabhupada initiated the devotees, and then it describes actually maybe Koma Prabhu's book or one of the books. And then Prabhupada was sitting up here, and then the devotees came in. They were all giving like gifts, Dakshina, after the initiation. That is the system. So Sandipani Muni, he asked for Dakshina from Krishna and Balaram to go and get his son. Who was his son? He was the son of Sandipani Muni. Sandipani Muni, Krishna's guru in Ujjain. Madhumangala. So he went and got Madhumangala. He'd been stolen by that demon, the Shankar. So he had to go and get, and then brought him back and came back. So then Devaki is asking for Dakshina also. It means you have to give to the parents. Interesting, because you know we heard Jayapataka Swami's Vyasa Puja a couple of months ago. Maharaj is 70. So it's like Maha Vyasa Puja. And then they played the some recording of Maharaj. It really struck me actually, because Maharaj spoke. First thing he said, you have to look after your parents. That struck me because, you know, it's Vyasa Puja, Maharaj speaking about spiritual things. But he did not neglect our material responsibilities. He said, you have to look after your parents. Very interesting, Maharaj would say that. So this is the system. We have an obligation. Parents and elders and all these. So you have to give Dakshina. There's a system. You have a responsibility you have to look after. That is culture. And Rupa Goswami says, you cannot, in bhakti, you cannot neglect material responsibilities. You have material responsibilities. You also have to fulfill those responsibilities. You can't say, I'm a devotee, I give all these things up. It doesn't work like that. Unless you actually give up everything. Then you can say, okay, I can walk away from everything. That's possible. Even your parents, you can walk away from. But then you have to give yourself 100% to Krishna. You can't say, well, I'm giving up my parents, but then I'm not going to surrender fully. It doesn't work like that. Then you'll get reactions. So you have to give. So there's some Dakshina required. So Devaki is saying, please, bring back my children to Krishna and Balaram. So some desire is there. And Krishna and Balaram can fulfill that desire. So, any points?
Who is it? like a Sakama Bhakti, it's like I'm asking something in return, given the fact that they're spiritual parents.
On Devaki's behalf?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's asking for something, but she's a very, very exalted devotee, you know, Nitya Siddha, eternal associate.
Exactly. That's what I'm a bit confused
there. Yeah, so if it's coming from their platform, then it's not material desire. That means she has, like the Prabhupada says, that like Kunti and Madri. So then Kunti had those mantras she could chant. She was given by Vivaswan, the sun god. So then she asked Yamaraj to come, and then she got Yudhishthira, and then she asked Vayu, and then Bhima came, and then Indra, and then Arjuna came. And then Pandu said, please teach the mantra to Madri. So she taught it to Madri, and then Madri called the Ashwini Kumaras, and she got Nakula and Sahadev. And then Kunti thought, oh, wait a minute, now she's called two demigods, she got twins. If she does that again, now she'll have more children than me. So Pandu said, give her the mantra again. And Kunti said, no, I'm not going to give it to her. And then Prabhupada points out, you know, it's the nature of women. And these are like, you know, Queen Kunti herself. But the nature of woman, if they're in that form, then they have particular nature. You know, even though she's pure devotee, but still some conditioning is there. I mean, it's because of the body. So, you know, for Devaki to ask, it's not wrong. You know, it's some conditioning from the body. Any other point? The sage Shukadev said, thus entreated by their mother, O Bharata, Balaram and Krishna employed their mystic yogamaya potency and entered the region of Suttala. When the king of the Daichas, Bali Maharaj, noticed the arrival of the two lords, his heart overflowed with joy, since he knew them to be the supreme soul and worshipable deity of the entire universe, and especially of himself. He immediately stood up and then bowed down to offer respects, along with his entire entourage. So, we have to offer respect according to the Atika. Atika means the qualification of the person. The more exalted the person is, the more you have to offer respect. Any guest who comes, you have to offer respect. But then when the guest is more exalted, then you have to offer more respect according to the position. Now, it's interesting because it says here that Bali Maharaj is king of the Daichas. Krishna and Balaram are going to Suttala. Suttala means lower region of the universe, below the earth. The sun does not shine there. Seven planetary systems, which are subterranean heavenly planets. That's where the Daichas live, and the Nagas, and the demoniac beings. So even though he is born in that particular body, still he offers respect to Krishna. It's an interesting point, and something we might become more aware of as we advance in Krishna consciousness is our own conditioning and the conditioning of others. Because we're born in a particular body, we have certain conditioning, and the conditioning does not completely go away, but it needs to become purified, right, in the service of Krishna. Bali Maharaj is Daicha. Daicha means demon. And born in the, what does it mean, a demon? It means the demons are very passionate. very ignorant, and strong inclination towards sense gratification, and their materialistic in consciousness. Anyone can be born in anybody and still serve Krishna. We've seen in the Bhagavatam already, Prahlad Maharaj is Daitya. You know, he's born in this type of body. Vrittasura. You know the pastime, which was back in Canto, end of Canto 6. Then Vrittasura, he was demoniac body. He was a demon. But in the heart, was a devotee. Sometimes we're born in the material body, which is not like the psychophysical makeup of a devotee. But still can be a very exalted devotee, regardless. That's why in the Harinam Chintamani, Haridas Thakur says it's actually an offense to judge the devotee according to the material body. Yeah. You know, a devotee is like this body or that body. Ah, they're Indian. You know, sometimes devotees are prejudiced towards Indian, you know, because Indian body. And say Indian like that, like they're like that, they're like that. But then sometimes it goes the other way. And they say, although he's born in the Western body. You know, so they're like this, they're like this. You know, sometimes there's criticism. It goes both ways. Sometimes people say, oh, you know, they're in an Indian body, they have this particular type of nature, it's better being in a Western body. Sometimes people say, no, better being in an Indian body. The Westerners have all these different problems. You know, but Haridas Thakur says you can't judge according to the body. You have to judge according to the Atika. Right? If the devotee, if he's advanced devotee, doesn't matter what body he's in, you have to offer respect. Right? It's not about the external. Right. It's about the intern, it's about the consciousness and the purity of the heart. So then Haridas Thakur says that if you are criticizing, then you have to render service to that person to overcome your offense. You start thinking, oh, you know, like they're Australian or they're Indian or they're whatever you think. And if you see that, that's in your consciousness, then you have to offer respect, you have to offer service to them, and you have to purify yourself. Specifically, he says, you should serve the Grihastha Vaishnavas. He said you should bathe their feet. That will make you humble. And go and bathe the feet of the Grihastha Vaishnavas and drink the water and sprinkle it on your head. Have you ever bathed the feet of one of the devotees and then sprinkled the water and put on your head? It's not easy to do. Because no devotee is going to let you do it. Oh, Prabhu, just sit down while I bathe your feet. No devotee is going to do that. At least with a guru you can do... what do you call it when you bathe the feet? Yeah, part of saving them all. What's it called when you bathe someone's feet? Yeah, like an abhishek. Yeah, like an abhishek of their feet. We bathe the feet. Well, I haven't done it for a long time. I haven't even been somewhere where they bathe the feet. Like earlier when I joined, then we used to do it all the time. Whenever the gurus came, we would bathe their feet and we have like a ceremony. We don't do it so much now. Do they still do?
Yeah.
Sometimes. Who do they do for?
Well,
we've done Jagatak as well. Yeah.
And I think
Vyasa Puja we do. Yeah. But, you know, we used to do it every time they came. Whenever they would come, we would bathe their feet. No, it's nice culture. Nice culture. But then ISKCON, at one point ISKCON said, stop doing it. Then they said, start doing it. So now we're all a little bit like, oh, should we bathe their feet or not? But actually, culturally, it's nice to do it. But we don't get to do it so much anymore. In the early days, we used to do a lot. You know, I used to drink sannyasi's foot bathing water. Quite a few of them, because we used to do it all the time. Because we're brahmacharis, we used to get most of the water. So we drink like a whole liter or something. Sometimes we take the whole thing to the Brahmachari ashram and then just drink the whole thing. A nice system. So the point is that Haridas Thakur says if you're disrespectful, then you should bathe the feet. Or if you can't bathe the feet, that's difficult. Okay, then take the remnants. Or take the dust from their feet. It means offer service to them. Offer respect. If you're feeling like you're not respecting someone, then you should serve them. Right? And you should change your consciousness. Any point?
Prabhuji, we read in Prabhupada's about a few months, beginning of this year, that in Mayapur there was a clash between two nationalities of devotees.
Two what?
Two nationalities. Devotees belong to two different nationalities, like India. So, how do you understand that? That too in Mayapur.
What's the question?
There was a clash actually that happened because of.
Between two nationalities?
Yeah.
In Mayapur?
Yeah.
Which nationalities was it?
I think it was Russian and Bengalis.
Yeah, that's. Well, there was actually a fight or something?
Yeah.
Oh, was it? Between a number of them or something?
Yeah, big groups.
Oh, big groups?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to. Yeah, just stay out of the way. Stay out of the way. It's not good. It's not good. Bengalis by nature are passionate, by nature, and the Russians can be very,
dominant,
stalwart sometimes, they can be like that. So I can understand why that happened, because I see in Mayapur, you see things, so I can understand why it would have happened. But, you know, the bottom line is, would that be pleasing to Prabhupada? No. So, you know, best not to get involved, just stay. Stay away. Also in Mayapur and Bengal and India, and things are different. You know, the way they govern things are different. It's a different system to what we have here. But you know, like if Anuruddha Prabhu is upset with me, he can't beat me, because then I can just go to the police and say, like, the guy beat me, right? But in Mayapur you can do it. You can actually beat someone. And the cops aren't going to do anything. You know, so it's like, well, they might, but you can get away with stuff as well. So it's a different, whole different thing there. Like that. I know I've got some close friends who live there, and they've told me how it operates there. It's like there's a thing. So just stay out of it. If you see the Russians and Bengalis fighting, then just, like, you know, go the other way or something. Don't get involved. But yeah, it's not good. It was on Dandavats, was it?
Yeah.
No. Too crazy. Too crazy. Yeah, just don't get involved in these things. Any other point? Russians and Bengalis. Ah, Krishna. Which one are we on?
36.
Bali took pleasure in offering them elevated seats. After they sat down, he washed the feet of the two supreme personalities. Then he took that water, which purifies the whole world, even up to Lord Brahma, and poured it upon himself and his followers. So it specifically says here that he enjoyed offering respect. And that's actually how you advance in Krishna consciousness. When you enjoy serving the devotees. Not that it becomes a formal endeavor. Not that we do it because we have to do it. I serve the devotees because I have to serve the devotees. Or I read in the Shastra it says it's good to serve the devotees, so then I do it. Or I expect something in return. Just like when I joined, it was very different. 30 years ago, then we have Janmashtami, and then next day was Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja, just like coming up soon, Janmashtami. But the temple wasn't busy like now. You know, now it's like, you know, it's on Saturday, Sunday this time.
Yes.
It's going to be insane.
Yes.
Insane. Krishna. It's going to be insane. Saturday, Sunday. And all the Hindus will think it's Friday.
Yeah.
All right. So if it's going to be Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it's going to be insane. So when I joined, it wasn't like that. You know, like Janmashtami wasn't crowded. You know, a few people would come, but wasn't crowded. And then next day was Prabhupada Vyasa Puja. All the devotees could fit upstairs in the prasadam hall. That was it. So like 400 max or whatever it was. And everyone would sit in big lines. And then we would save all the prasadam from Janmashtami that we offered. And then we would serve it out to everyone on Vyasa Puja. And all the devotees sitting in line, we would serve. We were brahmacharis, so we would serve. So we'd serve. So it'd take 2 hours to serve all the different preparations. And, you know, so many devotees sitting. So then I remember one devotee said to me, we will get so much benefit by doing this. Mm-hmm. But even back then, even though I was a young devotee, but that never sat right with me. You know, we shouldn't do it just because I'm going to get something from this. I'll serve all the devotees, and then I will get so much advancement, and I will make so much... No, it's not like that. Why do you serve the devotees? Because you want to serve the devotees. You enjoy serving the devotees. Yeah. That is the perfection of existence. Vaishnav Seva, Nama Ruchi. Lord Chaitanya teaches us. How do you get taste for chanting the holy name? You have to serve Vaishnava. We just like to serve devotees. That's our mentality. We just want to serve the devotees. Not I'm thinking, oh, if I serve them, then I'll get something in return. You know, I'll get blessings. No, just serve them. You know, you get blessings or don't get blessings, that's up to Krishna. Blessings will come automatically, that's there. But the point is, it's a service attitude that Krishna is looking for. Ahoituki apatihata. Which means uninterrupted, unmotivated. You know, we don't serve because now I get something back. No, we serve because it will make Krishna happy. And make the devotees happy. That's the mentality. So it says here that Bali Maharaj enjoyed it. Bali Maharaj was so powerful. He was like one of the most powerful kings in the universe. It says here that he conquered Indra. Big, powerful Kshatriya. You know, but when Krishna and Balaram came, he became like a humble servant. You know, such a powerful person, but he just humbly served Krishna and Balaram, bathed their feet and sprinkled the water on their head, and he enjoys doing that. Even though he's the king and everyone serves him, but he likes to serve. Like in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says that Maharaj Prataparudra would come and sweep in front of the cart of Lord Jagannath. Even to this day in Rath Yatra, the king of Puri comes and he sweeps in front of Jagannath's cart. When is Rath Yatra?
This Sunday.
That's the actual Rath Yatra. Yeah. So some devotees in Melbourne have gone.
4th July is it?
4th July is the actual.
In Puri.
Okay. So it's in a few days. How many devotees went? Last year lots went. I think there's like 40, 50 devotees or something from Melbourne.
20, 25. We were there.
You were there? 20, 25 from Melbourne. Some went this time.
I think it's about 10 or 12.
10 or 12 went. Yeah. Might be more hot this year though, I think.
Yeah.
It's earlier. So.
Last year it rained during the Rath Yatra. Literally, was flooded that much. A lot of Jagannath's rat stopped halfway, whereas Baladeva and Subhadanevi, they were in the end.
Kept going. And then it broke the heat, the rain. Yeah. Whereas this time I think it's just going to be hot. Yeah, be very austere. Yeah, so this is the mentality. Devotees just want to serve. And they don't think, oh, I want to get something in return. if I serve, I will get this. You know, that's not the mentality of a devotee, actually. We have to overcome that consciousness. Any points?
When we were reading about Guru Maharaj's pastime, when he was wanted to go and stay in Sutala, I think there was a point made where the Lord would be guarding the entrance, which is what was said. So now we are seeing Krishna and Balaram sort of coming, so how do we reconcile this, that the Lord is always there to us?
Yeah, then Krishna and Balaram just walk past Lord Vamanadeva. And Krishna and Balaram walked past, and they looked down and they saw Lord Vamanadeva was there, and they said, Hari Bol. And Lord Vamanadeva said, Hari Bol. Good to see you, brother. Yeah, so they're all there. Wow. Vamana's there, Krishna's there, Balaram's there. So. Like in the Rajasuya sacrifice, so the many forms were there. Mm. Yeah, forms of Vishnu and Krishna and Balaram are there and different. So, you know, Krishna can be there with these other forms simultaneously. He worshipped them with all the riches at his disposal. Priceless clothing, ornaments, fragrant sandalwood paste, betel nut lamps, sumptuous food and so on. Thus he offered them all his family's wealth and also his own self. So read that purport. Yogi, you like to read that?
Bali Maharaj's devotion attitude is renowned as a perfect example of complete self-surrender. When Lord Vishnu, in his guise of a young Brahmana student, approached him for charity, Bali offered all he possessed, and when he had nothing more to offer, he surrendered himself as the Supreme Lord's eternal servant. There are 9 standard processes of devotional service, and the last Atma Samparanam, as taught by Daitya Raj, is the culmination towards which every endeavor should aim. If one tries to impress the Lord with wealth, power, intelligence, and so on, but fails to humbly understand oneself to be his servant, one's so-called devotion is only a presumptuous show.
Any point?
Pride doesn't lead to bhakti.
What's that?
Pride doesn't lead to bhakti.
Yeah, material pride doesn't lead to bhakti. Spiritual pride can lead to bhakti. Any other point?
Bali Maharaj, being a demon, he was more, even though he's coming from a very righteous family, but he was very materialistic, and yet he surrendered everything, and that's very glorious of him. The fact that, you know, if you ask in this material world to surrender everything, wealth, everything, Atma Nivedana, which is what he's done, that's why he's sort of considered to be the highest amongst, you know, giving everything to the Lord. Hmm. Whereas the others, okay, understand, well, they were on the spiritual realm. Bali Maharaj is sort of materialistic, and yet he sort of gives everything.
Hmm. Yeah, good point. Anything else?
Once a rich man asked Srila Prabhupada, what can I offer to Lord? And Prabhupada replied, what can you offer to Lord? Because Prabhupada could understand he was proud of his wealth. So he questioned him back, what can you offer to God?
Who was that?
I'm not sure, I have it in the Bhagavatam class 2 with
So, the highest goal is to offer bhakti. Because nothing material impresses Krishna. We have to understand this point. There's nothing we offer that impresses Krishna. Because it's all material. We're just offering the material energy to Krishna, right? That's not impressive. For someone who's enjoying spiritual energy, what is it that we can offer in this world which is valuable? It's not actually valuable. Just like if you make a garland in this world, right? You get the best flowers and you make a nice garland, but the garlands in the spiritual world are always far, far superior. So there's nothing that you really offer in this world which is, so, you know, we cook the nicest preparations and like that, but compared to what Krishna eats in the spiritual world, there's no comparison. So it's only the bhakti which will attract. So therefore, Bali Maharaj is famous for Atmanivedanam, which is the ninth level of bhakti, which means he gave everything to Krishna. Actually, that's the highest thing. And if you give that, then you don't have to... Everything else is lesser. You know, we go before Radha Vallabha and we bow down. And what do we give them? Right? Because Nectar of Devotion says you should not come before the deity without a gift. But we don't come with a gift. You know, I don't bring anything when I come to see. So when I bow down, I try to give my heart and my soul to Krishna, Atmani Vedana. You know, I can't give you anything else, at least I'll try to give you my surrender. Right? I surrender to you. Right? So that is what is attractive to Krishna. Devotees who give everything for his service. They don't keep anything back. And as is pointed out, as Yogi was pointing out, you know, if you have so much material facility and still you give it, that's great renunciation. Prabhupada, actually, there's some comments where Prabhupada says, you're actually better than a sannyasi. If you're a grihastha, Prabhupada says, if you're a grihastha and you live with beautiful wife and wealth, and still you offer everything to Krishna's service, Prabhupada said, then you're better than a sannyasi. That is sannyas. It means everything is given to Krishna. So, Bali Maharaj is teaching this example. Give everything to Krishna. Right? It says here, so much opulence and so much wealth, everything was used for Krishna's service. And actually, the devotees, they prefer to live simply. Even very wealthy devotees sometimes, they live very simply. I know one devotee is very wealthy. He's actually a millionaire, very wealthy. And, sometimes I stay at that place. You won't even buy a new washing machine for his wife. Yeah, the old one's not even working properly. He says, no, keep using that one. Right. He doesn't want to waste Krishna's energy. So even though he has so much material facility, but he uses it in Krishna's service. So that should be the mentality of the devotees. You know, we may be very wealthy materially, but we live very simply. Okay. Any points?
The other point, Prabhu, this is what my interpretation is when it says, but if one fails to humbly understand oneself to be the servant, to be his servant, I mean, obviously we can't serve Krishna, but if we don't serve the devotees and the servants of the servants, then basically the whole point is defeated.
Yeah, good point. Taking hold of the Lord's lotus feet again and again, Bali, the conqueror of Indra's army, spoke from his heart, which was melting out of his intense love. O King, as tears of ecstasy filled his eyes and the hair of his limbs stood on end, he began to speak with faltering words. So we'll read the... Brinda, you want to read the purport?
Prabhupada describes this scene as follows in Krishna. King Bali was feeling such transcendental pleasure that he repeatedly grasped the lotus feet of the Lord and kept them on his chest. And sometimes he put them on top of his head, and in this way he was feeling transcendental bliss. Tears of love and affection began to flow down from his eyes, and all his hairs stood up.
Any points? So the goal is?
Lotus feet.
Huh? Yeah, the service of Krishna and Balaram. That's the goal. Prabhupada said in 1977, just before he left, Prabhupada said the most fortunate souls in the universe are the pujaris of Krishna and Balaram. Because the pujari, when he goes on the altar, he's worshipping Radha Balabha or Jagannath Balaram Subhadra or Gaunitai or Giriraj or any of the deities. The pujari is directly doing Nitya Seva, which means all the services are the same services you do in the spiritual world. Cooking, you're same in the spiritual world, they cook. Or they make garlands, or they dress the deity, or they bathe the deity, or do the arati. Same. Prabhupada said, most fortunate souls, the ones who directly do service to the deity. Actually, it describes that when we serve, if we become advanced, and get to like the platform of Bhava Bhakti, then when we pass away, where do we go?
Wherever Krishna is having his...
Yeah, you go to that universe where Krishna performs his pastimes. You've heard this? Yeah. If you're serving and you're getting very advanced, then you take birth in the universe where Krishna is performing his pastimes, and you get trained by the residents of Vrindavan how to serve Krishna, and then when you become perfect, then you go back to Godhead. But Janani Vas Prabhu told me, personally, he told me that the pujaris can go straight back to Krishna. They don't even have to go to the universe where Krishna, because they're already doing the seva. Janani Vas Prabhu, Pankajangrabhu, they can just go straight back to Krishna. Because they're already doing that service. Even I saw Janani Vas Prabhu, like, you know, when I go to Mayapur, you know, in Kartik, and then one time it was Govardhan Puja. And then in the evening we were all doing Dhammadharashtika. We were all offering candles. And I saw him, like I was kind of looking on the side. And he came, and, you know, hundreds of devotees, and it's dark, you know, and just still the candles and everything. And I came, I was kind of the sun, I saw he came, and he picked up one candle and he offered it. And then there was, because it was Govardhan Puja, they had like a statue of Krishna on the altar. And Krishna's holding like the hill, Govardhan Hill. It's like a diorama. And then I saw Janani Prabhu was speaking to Krishna. He was looking at Krishna and he was speaking like that. And I could see it wasn't like an artificial thing. You know, it was actually sentiment was there. So I could see that, you know, this devotee is already engaging with Krishna. So that is the mood. You know, if someone becomes pure, you can go straight from here, straight back to the spiritual world. Because that is the goal. The goal is to serve Krishna and Balaram. Like Bali Maharaj, he's bathing Krishna and Balaram's feet. That's the goal. What else is there now? Nothing else. Then leave this body and let's go straight back to Krishna.
It said that all services to Krishna are on the same plane. I mean, like, nothing is, like, for example, a person who's sweeping the floor is almost equivalent to the person who's actually doing the arati over there. This is also service for Krishna. So
yeah.
How can we see that?
Yeah, so any service is absolute, but Prabhupada said that the service of, you know, directly serving the deity is very special. But then there's other statements where Prabhupada said book distribution is the highest. And any service. We can't do any service properly. So let's just get some service working. You know, whether it's being the pujari or being a book distributor or giving classes or whatever it is we do, but at least let's learn to do at least something properly. You know, whichever service it is. But everyone should do deity worship, that's the point. That's the point. You know, so many devotees, you know, Preeti Lakshmi was telling me, like on the list I mentioned before, a lot of devotees, Brahman, second initiate devotees in Melbourne, a lot but most of them are not doing direct service. That's not logical. And it's like, oh, why would you take the second initiation and you don't do any worship? It doesn't even make sense. You got Prabhupada's own deities here. Prabhupada installed the deities. They're not like ordinary deities, and devotees don't do it. It doesn't make sense. So if you're going to do second initiation, you should directly worship the deity. Seeing you, lords, is a rare achievement for most living beings, but even persons like us, situated in the modes of passion and ignorance, can easily see you when you reveal yourself by your own sweet will.
Missed 39.
King Bali said, obeisances to the unlimited Lord Ananta, the greatest of all beings, and obeisances to Lord Krishna, the creator of the universe, who appears as the impersonal absolute and the supersoul in order to disseminate the principles of Sankhya and Yoga. Seeing you, lords, is a rare achievement for most living beings, and even persons like us, situated in the modes of passion and ignorance, can easily see you when you reveal yourself by your own sweet will. So Bhagavatam has already taught this, right back in the first canto. Devotional service only becomes effective when one is free from the qualities of ignorance and passion. It's a very important point to understand. And I think some devotees miss this point. You have to understand this point, very important. I've seen over the years devotees don't understand this, or they don't emphasize this enough, but it's very clear if you study Prabhupada's books. You know, I studied many years ago very carefully. I was studying Nectar of Instruction. And there's some statements in there. I was studying under Burujan Prabhu, like his lectures on Bhakti Shastra and Nectar of Instruction. And some very important points that Prabhupada makes about overcoming the effects of the modes of nature. And you see some devotees, they don't emphasize that enough. We have to overcome, because the effect of the mode of ignorance has certain effects on the consciousness. One of them is anger. Effect of the mode of passion, many effects on the consciousness, but lust and greed. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, lust, anger, greed are the three gateways to hell. It's coming from ignorance and coming from passion. We have to overcome these things. Otherwise, devotional service doesn't become effective. Right? If you're too lusty, too greedy, too angry, difficult to make advancement. So these qualities have to be overcome. And you see Bali Maharaj, because he's in the body of the Daitya, the demon. And many of us are in the body of the Daitya. I mean, my body is a Daitya body. It's like a passionate, ignorant body. You know, like a tendency. If you look at my family members, they're good people, but they're very passionate. Strong desire for sense gratification, which is the mood of the demons. You know, strong desire for sense gratification. Yeah. So that has to be overcome. Right? Your body doesn't change, but internally, purity has to be developed. Devotee has to become like a coconut. Why does a devotee have to become like a coconut? Coconuts are detached. Right, you pick them up, you shake them externally, but internally it's detached. So externally we have our body, you know, affected by the modes of nature, but internally we have to become detached from that. It takes a lot of practice. A lot of practice to get to that level. Gradually we have to overcome those effects of the lower modes of nature. Hmm. Many who had been constantly absorbed in enmity toward you ultimately became attracted to you. You are the direct embodiment of transcendental goodness and whose divine form comprises the revealed scriptures. These reformed enemies include Daichas, Danavas, Gandharvas, Siddhas, Vijadharas, Charanas, Yakshas, Rakshasas, Pishachas, Bhutas, Pramatas, and Nayakas, and ourselves, and also ourselves, and many others like us. Some of us have become attracted to you because of exceptional hatred, while others have become attracted because of their mood of devotion based on lust. But the demigods and others, infatuated by material goodness, feel no such attraction for you. What to speak of ourselves, O Lord, of all perfect yogis, even the greatest mystics do not know what your spiritual power of delusion is or how it acts. So Maya has got all of us bound in this material world. The only person who can become free from Maya is the pure devotee. Right? Pure devotees have no attraction or attachment to Maya. So all of us have to cultivate the qualities of pure devotees. So we can also become completely detached from Maya, from the material energy. Otherwise, everyone else is attached in this material world, from the highest person to the lowest person. Okay, we'll stop there. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.